Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. You're listening to us on WTTN 1580 and 92.7 FM.
Called me Luke.
What's up, La Follette? How you been, buddy? Luke is going to run for Secretary of State as La Follette, just one name, kind of like McLovin.
Just like McLovin.
Mm-hmm. Because assuming that everybody will just vote for anything named La Follette, and by default, having someone named just La Follette rather than, you know, like Doug La Follette or having any other name La Follette, just La Follette is more La Follette than any other La Follette
right.
there. So
right. you would, it's not diluted by a first name like
by default. Yeah. By the way, it's not the ideas that you're going to bring or any sort of qualities that you would bring to the thing. It's just the name that we're debating. And that's the one conundrum I always understood. I never understood about politics, but I think everybody expects to just kind of like gerrymandering only works because everybody just votes the same.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, they do pick their voters. Like, there's the current gerrymandered maps are with pinpoint precision.
Yeah,
the
of course.
Voters were picked.
I'm saying it works because people vote the same.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Well,
just voting trends. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? Like, it's just frustrating because that's the thing that we.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get into this this subject, because I've been wanting to talk about this, real quick update. Eddie Mecca, best known for his role as Carmine Ragusa, the Big Ragu, has died. Laverne and Shirley star.
Yeah.
So, Laverne and Shirley fans, I watched it when I was very, very young, but I remember it vividly, at least just the colors of it.
So, it was on the picture box.
Yeah. But launched the career of Penny Marshall. Yeah. Lots of other things. Spinoff of Happy Days. A lot of great things came out of Laverne and Shirley. In fact, Milwaukee had a lot to do with that because it was set in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Congratulations, everybody. So, the Big Ragu has passed on. So,
all right.
I got that. School shootings. There's no way to start that really awesome.
No, this is by far like one of the worst and hardest things to talk about all the time. And it not only because it is extremely politicized, but because of the fact that it almost gets glazed. Like when you try to stop and look at the story and try to actually digest it and understand what's happening, and then the fact that it's happening at such a frequency where it's like, it no longer, like Columbine when it happened.
Luke, this happened 2 days ago and we're just getting to it now. That's.
I understand that.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yes.
It's so commonplace that it's just.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the school shooting. We can.
Well, I told you I didn't want to talk about it that day because it was still so raw.
And it's okay because there's going to be another one that we can talk about later if we miss this one.
Which is just the most unfortunate truth here living in the United States. Like, it is. Columbine was talked about for months on end as coverage because it was the first of its kind tragedy and people wanted to understand it and people wanted to be able to prevent it. But then there became a concentrated effort by political groups in this country to say any form of common sense gun reform would be an infringement on our rights and we are going to pump monies in. And again, the NRA has been found to be pretty much a body of foreign influence pumping money into
didn't
American
used to be,
politics.
But they were
right.
taken over by...
Right.
Yeah.
But everybody should know that that is what that body became. And so it was something that was politicized all of these events saying, no, you can't talk about it right now because this is too raw. But now it's happening so frequently that before you could even say that we processed it and be able to then go address it, another one's already happening. Mm-hmm. And then the same people say, okay, we can't talk about that yet because it's still too raw. And it's just the commonplace aspect of it is just so heartbreaking.
Well, everybody goes to high school. Everybody has a
everybody
high school
goes
kid.
To high school.
Everybody knows someone in high school. In fact, most communities center around all the sports that happen in their local high school.
Yeah.
You know, especially the more remote your community is, the more you center around the high school that you go to. That's
right.
Because
it's the commonality.
That's
yes.
just naturally
yeah.
how it yeah. works. So, of course, this hits home to everybody. And what are the repercussions of people who aren't who don't have tragedies that happen? This reverberates. This is a collective trauma. This is a nationwide trauma. The pandemic was a worldwide trauma. We all are experiencing it, and all of us react in different ways. You've seen some people turn very much more angry about things. You've seen a lot of people start embracing life more, leaving their jobs, starting to do things like, you know, I may not live so long. I'm going to go and pursue art, things like that. Things that you see that also, you know, are commonplace when in the time of cholera, in the time of the plague, people started romanticizing things more because, you know, life is more precious and short. You see it in a lot of different people.
Right.
You also see it in kids now. A lot of high school kids, I've noticed, you know, growing up, you have the revenge of the nerds type of thing where, you know, make fun of the nerds and the jocks make fun of the, beat the kids up. And like you look at not Fast Times at Ridgemont High so much, even though that's close, but Dazed and Confused. You watch that movie and you go, oh my God, people just acted like this, and people just paddled kids and haze them, and it was fine. Like that's the type of thing. And nowadays, it's very hard to find that type of thing. Most of the time, you know, the high school captain of the team is a really nice kid who's
he's the class president. And, yeah, and he's a 4.0 student.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like,
it's not as clicky.
Yes, exactly.
You don't have the 80s clicks. And and obviously, I wasn't alive in the 80s. But Brian, did you ever have to go through school shooting drills as a student in high school?
No,
it just wasn't a thing for you.
No, I mean we had a couple kids. There was a period where a kid every year in my high school or in my class died. Of one thing or another, like a car accident or something like that.
Yeah.
And always somebody wanted to do something. Like the father of one of the victims, and again, tragedy, and one of my friends, Mike DaCosta, great kid, but he was walking across the street. You know, there was no crosswalk there. So the dad spent the rest of his life trying to get a crosswalk across the street, which basically just added an extra light 350 feet ahead. But again, it's doing something to go and, you know,
it's addressing a problem.
Trying to address a problem that maybe didn't need a solution, but at least it's something. The only solution I've seen to all these massive mass school shootings is that kids do more active shooter drills.
Yeah, that's pretty much
the only,
what I was
the
get
only
to.
People who have made a difference or have actually had to do something different are the kids.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. Once a year, so I did not have as many. But it would be roughly once a year you would have an active shooter drill, and it was something that you went full into lockdown for. But school shootings were still fairly enough infrequently that it wasn't happening on a regular basis. And a lot of the kids knew it was a drill, so it'd be something you'd be sitting there, you'd be joking around with your friends and everything like that. And it was like a tornado drill or any other drill that the school would go through. You do it to do it, and it wasn't taken necessarily maybe as seriously as it should have been. And the fact that now we've got schools and students that are going through these drills once a month, like we've got schools and teachers and educators that are having to put their children, the students that they are there to educate, they have to put them through on a regular basis, like a monthly basis, if not more frequently. They have to put them through the mindset of preparing for what an active shooter, if an active shooter came, what they had to do.
And that causes, that has some ripple effects across the country.
I cannot imagine what school would have been like for me 10 years later had I been in this mindset.
Because you don't have the TikTok, you don't have Instagram, you don't have kids from across, you don't have the ability to listen to what happens live in somebody else's classroom across the state during an active shooting. Across the country.
That didn't exist. And but apparently, like, there are now things that these students have to go through, but it's not even that they're doing their own active shooter drills. They're living through what it's like for them to have to also have advice, because they can relate to it.
Yeah.
If a classroom here in Madison, Wisconsin, I can guarantee you they can directly relate to the active shooter drill videos, or not even a drill, because it was an active shooter in Michigan. I saw the videos on Snapchat and Instagram. I watched them. This individual that shot the four people that had died in Michigan, he was going door to door. And I watched a video yesterday, Brian, where the individual knocked on the door and the teacher said, "How can, like, what, who is it?" essentially. And the guy, they believe it was the shooter at the time, because he was going around knocking, trying to get people to open the door. He claimed that he was with the sheriff's department. He said, "Open the door, I will show you my badge." He slipped up and said, "Bro." All of the students, they were filming this. They all had their phones out. As soon as he said, "Bro," they all knew that this wasn't a drill. It wasn't a sheriff officer that was knocking at the school door. They all got out of the classroom, going through the window, across the courtyard, and to safety, where there were actually sheriff's deputies in uniforms that were opened a door and had them all go through that door. I cannot imagine that trauma of going into that class that day, being shut down, and imagining that it's a drill until somebody comes knocking on that door and is demanding that the teacher open that door, and he doesn't. And that teacher saved those kids' lives.
Yeah.
I cannot fathom what it is like to go to school nowadays. And I am not that much removed from school myself, Brian. I am a younger man.
Yeah.
And the lived trauma that we are putting our high school and grade school and middle school students through, because there has been a politicization of gun control to the point that we cannot do anything as a state, as a country, to address this problem. The lived trauma that the young generation is going through in this country right now is sickening. And I know that you've got a piece that you want to share.
I do have something I want to share. I personally don't think that gun control, we definitely need. I just don't know that it's going to help here, because, again, like I said, the people that perpetrate this don't have anything to fall back on. Don't have anything. They have decided, most of them have decided they're not going to live after this. They've decided that their life isn't worth it anymore.
Right. And there's no silver bullet.
No.
To address this.
So we got to figure something out. But I want people to understand what it's like for your kids that don't. Again, this is a question posed to a high school kid and a response. It's on a Reddit feed. Do any other American high schoolers have intensive survivor's guilt and trauma with school shootings, even though they weren't at your school? And this could apply to any school, non-school shooting. Like a laser tag place open geared towards teenagers, and it got no business. We tried to enjoy it, but when someone pointed a laser machine gun at me, I instinctively dropped behind the nearest wall and reached to turn off my phone and cried. I wasn't the only one. The announcement system turns on at an unexpected time, and everybody holds their breath until they say something besides locks, lights, out of sight. Nobody even jokingly pops chip bags anymore. A door slammed really loud during a class change, and everybody dropped and ran. Everyone cries during drills, and even the toughest ranch kids. Every drill comes with a full day of teachers crying and telling us they love us all so much and will die for us, and every kid in every class looking around wondering, who will I die for? Who would die for me? You walk to the bathroom and wonder every second, if it happens right now, where will I go? You test supply closet doors to see which ones are unlocked. You memorize which furniture in teacher's lounge your English teacher says is a light enough to barricade a door with. The fire alarm goes off and nobody moves. Instead, you wait for gunshots. Is it a trap? You stand with a group of freshmen and realize that you're the oldest. You'll know you'll have to die for them. You forget your ID tag and worry that now the police won't be able to tell your parents if you're safe or not. Your stats teacher has a baseball bat by the door. Your math teacher keeps a stapler under each desk to throw. Your drama teacher asks who will be willing to stand by the non-locking door with Shakespearean swords. Your yearbook teacher tells you don't worry about breaking a camera because you heard about the kids who died holding them. You don't use the bathroom during class because you don't want to be the only target to shoot at. You keep your phone on silent 24/7 because you worry the one time you forget will be when you get your whole U.S. history class killed. You have a snap saved with your class schedule in school in full name to send in an instant to your internet friends so they know where if you were on that wing. You have a note saved with the things that you want your mom to know and things you're sorry for. At the age of 12, I was told I needed to know who I would die for and that I was okay if nobody I would die for. That was my decision to make. School shootings control us more than the adults and non-Americans could possibly imagine, and nobody moves to change anything unless we're actively screaming for it. Have you considered we're too scared? I'm going to take a couple minutes here.
Yeah. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give us a call for our final segment of the day, 844-967-2789.